The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Here's Bill Myers.
10 minutes after 6, welcome to Find Your Phone Friday. You can check in. We'll have a whole bunch of open phone time, especially at 8 o'clock. But if you wanted to squeeze something in right now, would love to hear from you, too. 770-563-3770-KMED. My email is bill@billmyersshow.com. And the facebook.com/Bill Myers Show feed is up here. Got a number of good people we're going to be talking to this morning. Adam Schwend is from the Susan B. Anthony Pro-Life America. And there's a story, a political story, bubbling underneath the surface. I haven't seen a whole lot of coverage about this, but it has to do with Wisconsin. And Wisconsin could be one of the keys. This Supreme Court election that they're having this coming Tuesday could actually determine whether a lot of President Trump's agenda ends up getting passed if there's going to be congressional support for this. It has to do with a possibility of a liberal taking over and redistricting. And it's just it's quite the mess there, really. And it's not really being talked about a whole lot because it is just such a tiny, tiny majority there in the House right now. You know, one or two votes, you know, at best. This is why President Trump yesterday ended up announcing that Elise Stefanik is not going to be going to the United Nations because they weren't so sure that a Democrat wouldn't win her seat if it ended up going into an election in New York, given the Trump resistance, which is going on in the hissy fit crowd. So that's kind of where things are going. So we'll talk about a bit of that national politics with Adam here. Adam used to actually be, I was looking at his bio. He used to be a chief of staff member for someone in the Oregon State Legislature. I'm going to have to figure out who that is. We'll ask him when he comes on a little bit later. We're also going to talk with Mr. Outdoors this morning and find out how things are going to be shaping up, weather, outdoors, and playing around in the great Mother Nature. State Representative Dwayne Junker back on. We haven't talked to him for a few days, and he ended up being, I don't know if he was gaveled down again or something, but, you know, every time Dwayne wants to get out and criticize something which really needs criticized in the state legislature, everybody gets really upset. In other words, State Representative Dwayne Junker is the true conscience of the of normal America rather than brain-damaged America, which tends to be controlling most of the Oregon state legislature. But he had something to say, pretty bad deal, about an education bill which is being heard in the House right now. So we'll talk with him about it and get the latest. And, of course, your calls and opinion. We'll have a Diner 62 quiz, for that matter. And anything else that happens to be on your mind, too. Once again, my number is 770-5633. I wanted to let you know, though, something I might ask Greg about this is I'm wondering if, as everybody is seems to be in a panic about wildfire funding this year, because they're going to see fewer federal dollars coming in here, and there are fewer federal dollars in the counties, fewer dollars in the states. Everyone's going to have to cinch in the belt in an inflationary time. Still there. We can't disagree with that. I am wondering, and I'm guardedly optimistic, and I'm kind of tossing this out to you, and I'm wondering if you're seeing the same thing that I'm seeing on the ground when it comes to what's happening under the power lines in the rural areas of Jackson and Josephine County. And the reason I bring this up, I hadn't been up to Nugget Butte in Gold Hill for several, I want to say about 2-3 months. The weather got bad, and I wasn't able to get up there much. We had some problems with the power being out there for about 2-3 days during that severe snowstorm. Remember that? Was that early in February? It just seems good. It feels like it was so long ago, but it probably wasn't all that long ago. But you remember when we had all the big snow, the big gloppy snow, and a lot of power outages for several days. But anyway, I haven't been able to get up there for a while, so I went up there this week, wanted to refill the generator and do all sorts of stuff that I hadn't had a chance to do for a while. And I was surprised what I was seeing above the city of Gold Hill. And I'm heading up the road past the water tank. This is the, you know, it's the locked off gated area. I got a key to it. And so I'm going up the road past the Gold Hill water tank and heading up this and crawling up there in the Forerunner. And I'm amazed at what I'm seeing underneath the power lines. There is just it's just this huge completely cleared off areas underneath the power lines. And I would estimate, my estimations may not be good, but I would say anywhere from 40 to 60 feet wide, wherever the power lines were going up in that mountaintop area, it was completely cleared down to the ground. Trees were cut down. There were tons of trees stacked up on the side of the road and in the area where they were cutting down some of these trees. And where there were other, if there weren't trees being cut down, everything was chewed down. So I'm thinking that Pacific Power either has or has contracted services that use those masticators. You know, you ever see those big, those machines? They'll be on the top of a loader of some sort, and they'll strip a tree, and then they'll grind a tree, and they practically just grind everything down to the ground. And it was amazing to watch, because I have been so worried about that area above Gold Hill, among many other places on public land, because that's all BLM land up there that I was up there. The radio station that I was servicing has a lease on top of Nugget Butte, which is BLM land at that point, BLM managed. And I've been looking at this for years now. I've been servicing it since 2006, and it just looked like a massive wildfire just waiting for a match or a lightning strike to happen. And I was thinking, wow, gee, what's going to happen? We got these power lines here. There's just all sorts of opportunity. Well, I would imagine that wildfire mitigation is a big deal right now with Pacific Power, given how they've been getting sued half out of existence over this kind of stuff. So it sharpens the minds, and maybe it takes time. But it was cleared out everywhere the power lines went, all the way up. And it took down a lot of the poison oak that I've had to deal with up there. Remember when I got sick a few years ago? And like I said, anywhere the power lines were, they had those masticators, and it is clean down. And the thing about those masticators is that you have everything reduced to just a pile. And it's not even a pile, but because they'll take the major trees down, but then all the small trees and the bushy, brushy kind of stuff gets ground down and cut up. And it's just kind of lying there on the ground, and it's just small pieces. And if it were to catch on fire, it would be a very low, slow burn. It would not get a lot of air and burn very quickly. And I'm thinking, man, it was great to see this. And I put it on Facebook a couple of days ago, and other people were mentioning, yeah, they did this above my house on Table Rock, and this and that and the other. And I'm wondering if you're seeing a lot of this in your particular neighborhood, because if so, this is a good thing. This is stuff that should have been done a long, long time ago. I think those masticator machines are making it a lot easier to do wholesale grinding up and clearing out where it's needed. And so at least there will be one less source of a possible accidental ignition, because you're not going to have any trees falling over or touching the power lines. Even if the power lines were to get blown off in a high wind event and spark and fall on the ground, it would start a fire maybe, but it'd be a low and slow, not big deal kind of fire in my view. I'm no fire expert, but all I wanted to say is that before, above Gold Hill on that BLM land on Nugget Butte, it was like gasoline. The forest is gasoline. Madrone, scrub, poison oak, it's really something. And at least in the areas where the power lines are, it's looking good. And the road was not bad, too, because they ended up having to clear the road out, I think, to get some of their equipment up there. So I was kind of happy to see that. And I don't know if you're seeing that in your particular neck of the woods, so to speak, but I wanted to just report some guardedly optimistic, maybe forecasting on what's going on here. I might talk with Greg about that. Maybe he knows more about it. 770-5633. Hi, this is Bill. Who's this? Good morning. Welcome to Friday.
Good morning, Bill. It's Vicky from the Applegate.
Hi, Vicky. How's life there for you, huh?
Oh, it's dark, but it's, okay. I see some clouds going, but I can see some stars, too. So
good. It's good to be able to have a view on the creation every now and then to remind ourselves how small we really are. You know?
Oh, my gosh. You feel like an ant out here, literally, but mm-hmm. I wouldn't trade it for the world.
You got it.
Out here.
So what's up?
I wanted to know, how is the wall going? Because I haven't heard anything about the materials that Biden was selling off. And is that still moving forward? Or was Trump able to get the...
Was he able to claw it back? I don't know. I would have to look a little more deeply into this. I have not heard any particular news on it. Federation for American Immigration Reform, which is kind of my touchstone for that kind of stuff, has not been reporting on anything about the wall being started. So I imagine this could be part of a budgetary issue right now, waiting for some approval from Congress. Maybe, I don't know if in the continuing resolution there was, there was wall construction. Just off the top of my head, I can't say for sure. Sorry.
Yeah, I was just wondering because, I mean, if there's still wall sitting there, maybe, we could utilize that instead of selling it off. So I don't know if that's something that you can ask the congressman or not.
You know what I'll do? I'll touch in with Federation. I'll drop a note to Federation for American Immigration Reform. This is their wheelhouse. They're always paying attention to that kind of stuff. And I'll get back to you on that, okay?
Oh, right. Okay, sounds good, Bill. You have a good day.
And you have a good weekend. Thank you for calling. Really appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye. 21 minutes after 6 at KMED, 99.3 KBXG. We'll touch on some other news here, too, and this is the Bill Meyer Show.
Ready to upgrade your roof to a durable, sleek metal option? Look no further than Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. With our state-of-the-art snap-lock machines, we bring precision and efficiency right to your doorstep. No need to worry about transporting materials. We come directly to your project property. Visit StephenWestfallRoofingInc.com and discover the ease and quality of metal roofing done right. Transform your home with Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. Call today to get an estimate tomorrow. 541-941-3736. CCP number 250730.
Lose your car key or remote? Don't get stuck without a spare. At Batteries Plus, you'll get a replacement car key fob for up to 50% less than at the dealership. Keys cut, fobs programmed, and key fob batteries replaced too. Get your spare key or remote today at Batteries Plus.
Oregon Truck and Auto Authority is celebrating its 20-year anniversary as the Rogue Valley's car, truck, Jeep, and SUV accessory upfit headquarters. Specializing in spray-on bedliners, vehicle undercoating, tonneau covers, and the largest selection of fiberglass, commercial, and metal canopies in the area. Running boards, Nerf bars, bumpers, winches, and LED lighting are also on the menu, along with hitches, decked drawer systems, and bed slides too. Come see Oregon Truck and Auto Authority today and get your vehicle ready for your next adventure.
Hi, I'm Randy with Diner 62, and I'm on KMED.
KMED with the Diner 62 Real American Quiz. We'll do that a little bit later this morning and give you a shot at that $20 gift certificate. Always a lot of fun. Great, great question today. And it has to do with the anniversary of Three Mile Island. That's what it's going to be about, a trivia question about that. I remember that. It was in high school, 1979, when that was going on, I believe. And it really stirred the mind, and frankly, I wouldn't say falsely, but distorted. It was a distorted picture painted of the nuclear power industry after that, which made it next to impossible to get anything new. And now we find ourselves looking at this situation with much safer reactors. And in fact, we have these distributed small reactors that cannot be turned into any kind of nuclear bomb material or can't be bombs themselves. And there's talk of thorium reactors and all these various other things. And about the only people that are really able to get anything moving are maybe like the big movers and shakers like Bill Gates, of all people. Bill Gates and in the man boobs, he's out there and... Nobody else can get nuclear power going, but maybe one of the world's billionaires can do this, right? It's just kind of crazy what's going on. Here's your mRNA, but, I'll give you some nuclear power for your data center. Yeah, that's, I think, but I digress. But yeah, Three Mile Island did a lot to kill the industry for a long, long time, and I think we're coming around to figuring out, all right, if you don't want to use natural gas, all right. If you don't want to use coal, all right, you don't want to use dams, well, you're not going to be able to use windmills and solar cells to power everything. Nothing wrong with windmills and solar cells, but when it comes to keeping a society running 24/7, nah, I don't think so. Some other news here this morning. Got a bunch of rabid fox attacks in Joe County. KOBI reporting this one. Josephine County Public Health Officer Dr. David Candelaria confirming 4 cases of rabies in Fox just within the last week. Pretty big spike for the county. A little concerned about that, yeah. And they had a 9-year-old girl bitten by a rabid fox, got treatment for it. Another person bitten on the shoe, but they didn't get the rabies. Good for them. And a lot of this is going on out in the Selma and Cave Junction area. So I just wanted to let you be aware of that. And you know, this is something I didn't realize. Candelaria warning to watch out for foxes, weird behavior by foxes, including being out in the daytime because they're nocturnal animals. And I didn't realize that that was something to watch out for, because I remember there's a time when we were living in Jacksonville a number of years ago. Linda and I were there, and we had that outdoor cat, Boswell, the one that that came and was just mooching off of us. He wasn't our cat, but he was a feral cat that it came up, and we were feeding him not-so-special kitty from Walmart, you know. But he was okay. We kept him alive outside for a lot of years. And there was a time we were feeding them, and then there was a sneaky fox sneaking up behind him, getting ready to pounce on Boswell at our door. And it is kind of unusual fox behavior. And it was right in the middle of the day, not really something that foxes, it makes you wonder if they were rabid, you know, that kind of thing, or if that fox back at that time was rabid. Just something to keep in mind. Rabid humanity, at least one rabid member of humanity, allegedly rabid member of humanity, in Jackson County Jail this morning. Jacksonville guy put in jail after attempting to lure and sexually corrupt a local teen. The teen was on Snapchat, the quick ad feature. The child's parent learned about the smutty communication, apparently, 22nd of March, according to Jackson County Sheriff's here. And they reported it to Jackson County Sheriff's. And the Oregon Child Exploitation Team, they took over that account. They learned about this 39-year-old man. And then they met with him. They arranged to meet with him. And they posed as the teenager. And so we've got the Jackson County Sheriff's, the Soquette people, Oregon State Police, Medford Police were all in this. And he ended up showing up on Crater Lake Highway, and they arrested him without incident. And Anthony Nicholas Wheeler, a 39-year-old from Jacksonville, charged with first-degree online sexual corruption of a child, second-degree online sexual corruption of a child, and luring a minor. And he is in Jackson County Jail. And probably a bad day for him. Now, it is alleged, but he was the one that showed up, too. So we'll see where this goes. Could be a while before we hear about him again. But, of course, you can't not have a teenager with a cell phone and internet wherever they go, right? Right, right. Speaking of the internet and the cell phone, I had a story about that in here. Oh, yeah, here we go. Willamette Week reporting that state lawmakers are considering a strict cell phone ban for all Oregon students. This is House Bill 2551, and this is bipartisan. You got everybody from Kim Wallen out of Medford, April Dobson in Happy Valley, Senator Lisa Reynolds from West Portland. They're all testifying in support of this. This would be a statewide cell phone ban from bell to bell for all students in Oregon, and this would just be the rule. Now, Willamette Week reporting that the proposal generally well-received, although a few key school district advocacy organizations sought less restrictive guidance. Let me translate. We really have a bunch of parents that don't know how to let their kid go for a day, you know, for a few hours, okay? 9 states have implemented cell phone bans. I don't see any reason why we can't just do the ban. You put it in the bag. It's out there. And I guess what they're trying to do is get the kids to pay attention. I remember I talked with where Larry Smith wrote me from Jacksonville, and he's involved a lot in the educational world. And he was writing back to me just last week about how even in Medford 549C, the cell phone rules are a joke and the teachers don't enforce them. Nobody wants to get in the face of the kids for the most part. And I think one of the biggest battles you're going to have may not even be the kids, but are the parents, the helicopter parents who can't stand the idea that they might be out of touch of their kid for a few hours or not be able to text message, are you okay? Are you okay? What? How do we ever survive this way? You know, this sickness that everybody has to be contacted wherever they happen to be at all times. Now, I know as an adult, I'm on call for radio station, emergency repairs and stuff like that, but I'm an adult. And I'm able to silence it, and I'm not sitting there poking at it all the time. But, they are designed to be addictive. And I hope they find a way to move forward with this. And I hope they keep a steel spine about this. And they don't fall prey to the, I have to be able to, and I'm going to knock it off. I think some parents need to grow up, too, and learn balance in their life. Because I'll bet you that's where a lot of the problem will be. Even less so the kids. 6:30 at KMED, and we'll catch up on the rest of what things are going on here, and what else we got going on? Oh, yeah, and then we're going to talk about that Wisconsin situation. Big, big political story. It's going to be happening on Tuesday, and it's not getting nearly the coverage it should, I think.
Nominations are open for this year's Bi-Coastal Media Best of Southern Oregon contest, presented by Dusty's Transmissions. Nominate and support your favorite businesses now at bestofsouthernoregon.com. There's nearly 200 categories to nominate all your favorite suppliers of goods and services, whether it's medical, automotive, beauty, entertainment, food and beverage, and more. There's a category to nominate all of your favorites. So visit bestofsouthernoregon.com today. Nominations close Wednesday, April 2nd at 5 p.m.
Latest news brought to you by locally owned and operated Artisan Bakery Cafe in South Medford. It's a full-service cafe offering breakfast, lunch, and specialty coffees. You'll be wowed one bite at a time.
From the KMED News Center, here's what's going on. The U.S. Department of Education has pulled money from some colleges and universities in Oregon after they received waivers from the Biden administration to give federal grants to students in the country illegally. The state's P3 waivers were immediately revoked Thursday. The waivers are for the TRIO program, which was created to help fund low-income and challenged American students pay for college. Locally, it'll affect OIT, SOU, along with Klamath and Rogue Community Colleges. The Oregon Health Authority says federal cuts to COVID-era grants is a loss of $117 million to the state. The money was used to create Oregon's 988 crisis line and filled gaps in substance use treatment, prevention, and recovery services. It was also used for the Equity Office in the Public Health Division. The number of prescriptions for doctor-assisted suicide in Oregon increased last year, but the number of deaths declined. There were 376 deaths, which was down about 3% from 2023. Bill London, KMED.
Introducing sweet February favorites at Artisan Bakery Cafe. Try their cherry almond loaf, a moist almond cake loaded with chopped cherries. Pure perfection in every bite. Pair one with Artisan's indulgent drinks, cardamom rose latte, a sophisticated blend of cardamom's warmth and rose delicate sweetness. Amaretto latte, cozy up with almond fragrant nuttiness and a hint of cherry sweetness, or a chocolate cherry mocha, rich chocolate, tangy cherry, and bold espresso. Visit us at 1325 Center Drive, across from the South Fred Meyer.
Oh, gosh, I have to tell you, when it comes to Artisan, the mouth waters, you hear them, and it is good as it sounds, all right? All right, 6:33. Wanted to thank Dan Hanna. Dan Hanna dropped me a note because Vicky just called me a few minutes ago from the Applegate, was wondering if there's anything going on with the wall. And I hadn't heard a lot of current conversation about that. There have been other irons in the fire, I guess, in the news world. Hadn't even gotten anything from Federation for American Immigration Reform. But Dan Hanna writes me and says, hey, Bill, here's a couple of stories. And over in Yuma here, U.S. Border Patrol Yuma sector has officially begun installing new border wall panels along the Arizona-Mexico border. Installations of new 30-foot panels began Friday in a remote area, 50 miles south of Welton. So, yes, new border wall construction is going on. And this is a story from just a week ago. So, yeah, it is happening. Good to know. And by the way, Dan, thanks for the tip.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. The work of DOGE will mean good things for Social Security recipients. That, according to DOGE Chief Elon Musk. He says if you are a legitimate Social Security recipient, you can expect to get more money and not less as a result of the work of DOGE aimed at cutting government fraud, waste, and abuse. Anxious to maintain a slim GOP House majority, President Trump withdrawing the nomination of New York Congresswoman Elise Stefanik for ambassador to the UN. Vice President Vance and Second Lady Usha Vance visiting an American military base in Greenland today. Hundreds of evacuations in wildfire-ravaged areas of the Carolinas, where the battle against raging wildfires goes on. Myanmar and neighboring Thailand hit by a powerful 7.7 magnitude earthquake. The opening bell sounding on Wall Street, stocks starting off the day in the red. More details, srnnews.com.
Important Medicare news. Doge Chief Elon Musk says all government spending is up for review, and the House plans to cut $800 million in health care costs. These cuts could hit Medicare and Medicaid. Now, Rob Finnerty is on Newsmax tonight, revealing the real Medicare crisis. Over 65 million people depend on Medicare, and Rob Finnerty says hardworking Americans that paid for it should get their full Medicare coverage. This week in his series, Medicare in Crisis, Rob Finnerty looks at Medicare and why it faces bankruptcy. Big changes are ahead for Medicare. You need to watch Rob Finnerty tonight. Find Newsmax on all major cable systems or download the free Newsmax app on your phone now. Millions are switching to Newsmax because we're fighting for you.
One of each, K4 VIN 016551, MSRP 24145, Telluride VIN 615524, MSRP 4270, 5699, due 10K miles per year, zero security deposit, all incentives and discounts to dealer, plus tax, title, license, 150 registration, processing fee, trading in a vehicle will not eliminate your debt. Negative equity applied to new loan balance ends 3/31/25.
Get up and go to Kia Medford, where payments are down to just $159 a month. Save on our huge selection of new Kias, like the all-new 2025 Kia K4 LXS. Only $159 a month lease, or a new 2025 Kia Telluride S, now $239 a month lease, both for 24 months. Plus, once we make a deal at Kia Medford, we'll pay off your trade no matter how much you owe. Need credit? Go to KiaMedford.com to get pre-approved in less than 30 seconds with no effect on your credit score. Don't miss K4's $159 a month or Telluride's $239. Get up and go to Kia Medford. Click KiaMedford.com.
Good morning. This is News Talk 106.3 KMED, and you're waking up with the Bill Myers Show.
It's been bubbling under the headlines here, but it is a big, big deal. This coming Tuesday, Wisconsin Supreme Court election is seen as one of the most pivotal races of this year. Huge implications for both battleground states and the nation, and it's pitting a Trump-backed county judge and a former Attorney General Brad Schimel against Dane County Judge Susan Crawford, who is essentially a pro-abort for Planned Parenthood, left-leaning group, former attorney for these left-leaning groups. And it's a big deal, and I have not been hearing much about this, and all of a sudden, boom, I'm said, hey, you want to talk with Adam Schwend about this? And Adam is the Western Regional Director of State Affairs for the Susan B. Anthony Pro-Life America. How you doing this morning, Adam? Welcome back. Good morning.
Hey, doing great, Bill. Thanks so much.
All right. Now, you actually used to be a chief of staff then for Susan Weber, state senator, right?
Yes. When I was in Oregon, I worked. I'm born and raised in Oregon, but I live in the Midwest now.
All right. So, in other words, you escaped to a free state. Is that what you did?
Yes.
All right.
Yes, I sometimes say that I emigrated to the United States from Oregon.
What is it like in Nebraska when you contrast your experience before we get into this big political story? I have a friend and colleague who ended up moving to Tennessee and talked about what a freedom of business it was. You know, actually be able to start a home-based business, no big deal. And Oregon would have just crushed them with basic take. What's it like in Nebraska? Curious.
Oh, it's night and day. You know, one of the big focuses of Senator Weber when I was with her was housing, and it was just like pulling teeth in Oregon just to get a few units built. And as I drive around town here in Nebraska, they've got apartment buildings, the new developments going up, just gangbusters. And it is all about the regulations and the costs that they have to deal with in Oregon. That's the reason. That's the big problem.
Yeah, and when you look at Oregon, too, you know, you were here in the state legislature, Senate Bill 100, centralized land use planning. We're the only state that does it, you know, to this extent, in which the state has to have its finger in everything. Local control, very difficult. Property rights always under attack. And And yeah. we're only like 18% developed, and it's like it's okay for New Jersey to be completely developed, but we're supposed to be encased in amber, I guess. I don't know. Well, we miss you all. We miss you, Adam, but I understand. I understand you were.
Yeah.
So tell us, though, about this Wisconsin election, because this is a big, big deal, because a lot of, I mean, this could even take care of the Republican majority or get rid of the Republican majority in Congress. Isn't that right, ultimately?
Absolutely, Bill. And that's one of the things when I'm talking to people from outside of Wisconsin or outside of the neighboring area who think, why should I care about what's happening with a Supreme Court race in Wisconsin?
Mm-hmm.
Well, one of the cases that will probably come back in front of the Supreme Court if Susan Crawford, the liberal Susan Crawford, wins and the liberals maintain their majority is a redistricting case where we could see ourselves in a situation where Wisconsin is having to, again, rewrite their maps in a more liberal way because, of course, a Susan Crawford court is going to demand that they be more liberal. And if that's the case, we just saw it with Representative Stefanik having to have her nomination pulled because of the tight, tight margins. A couple of switches to the Democrats could mean from going with a Speaker Mike Johnson to a Speaker Hakeem Jeffries, President Trump's agenda for the entire country getting tossed out the window.
I think I understand why they don't want to put too much attention on this election, right?
Right. Right.
I'm talking about Democrats. I don't want to draw too much attention to this. Now, is it true, though, that George Soros has thrown money at this election in a big way? Could you confirm or what are the details? I'm seeing some reporting on that. It seems to indicate a lot of money.
Yes. He used his normal his normal tactics of funneling it through other organizations. But he donated millions of dollars to the Democratic Party there to be used for this race. So it is not a surprise that we see the liberal groups just dumping money in this, Planned Parenthood dumping money into this. We don't have, unfortunately, the printing press that the liberals have in their back room. They just create money from absolutely anywhere. We don't have that. But what we do have is the ability to do hard work and to actually put boots on the ground. We actually had Susan B. Anthony, Pro-Life America, had our just 100 kids, 100 college students over their spring break. You know, college students, sometimes they want to go down to Florida and party or they want to go home. And
So they weren't down in Miami getting naked and drunk, right? They were actually knocking on doors.
They were knocking on doors in Wisconsin in the spring. And if you've ever been in the Wisconsin in March,
it's cold.
That's iffy.
Yeah.
It's definitely not Miami. They hit 152,000 doors over the course of just two weekends, just 100 of them. And that really, I've been in this game for, over 20 years now. I get pretty darn jaded sometimes when I see kids who are doing that for not because they're getting rich, not because they're getting anything really out of it, but because they know it's the right thing to do. That really means something to me. So it's just amazing to have those kids hit over 150,000 doors. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to outwork these folks. But one of the things, as you mentioned, we're finding even folks in Wisconsin realizing that just now that there's an election coming up, that they didn't even know that this was happening, even in the state that it's happening in. So it is so important that we get out there and just tell people, tell conservatives that, hey, this is happening. This election's happening on April 1st. You need to get out and vote because the other side is motivated. They're angry because they're seeing the success that President Trump has been having.
Oh, yeah. And they're looking at this as a perfect opportunity to resist and resist hard knock him in the gut. In fact, a redistricting could end this before it even starts, really.
Absolutely. And certainly we'll fight all the way to the end as we have to. But they've already switched the court. You know, this is a conservative court just 2 years ago, and they had a split, and this is what we ended up with. And the redistricting thing already happened once on their legislative district. In Wisconsin, Republicans had a supermajority in the legislature in Wisconsin. The liberals came in, sued, as they do, with their liberal majority on their Supreme Court then, and now we're looking at a point that we may have a legislature in Wisconsin that is just barely Republican.
Wow. It all kind of is coming down to what happens in Wisconsin this coming Tuesday. And I didn't realize there was such a relatively, on a national stage, small election that could have such far-reaching implications here over the next few months of what happens in the federal government. So what can we do in Oregon? We're out here in Oregon. I'm glad to hear about this and be informed because I had no idea about this story, you know, until you folks reached out to me about this. What can we do?
Sure. Well, number of things. First of all, if you have any friends, folks, that family that you know in Wisconsin, give them a call and make sure they know about this race. Make sure they know that it's April 1st, this coming Tuesday, that they need to get out and vote.
Yeah.
That don't make a plan. Bring somebody with you that you know is going to vote for Brad Schimmel. So that's number one. Get on social media. Make sure you're posting about this. Make sure you're telling people about this. Just do everything you possibly can to talk about this that might get to one or two Wisconsin voters. Because this could come down to a few hundred, maybe a few thousand votes.
Yeah.
That could decide the future of the United States Congress. That's a huge deal. And then I think folks just, we get really tied up in the presidential election, right, or the congressional elections. Those are very important. But these little sleeper races, they happen in Oregon, too.
Oh,
whether
yeah.
it is the Supreme Court or whether it is a school board or your local mayor, local city council, don't sleep on these races. Don't just think they aren't important just because they're just local. These folks have more effect on your life than the president ever will. And they will have an effect on the whole country as a whole in situations like this.
And so the whole idea is that if you have friends in friends or family in Wisconsin, you have them vote for Attorney General or former Attorney General Brad Schimmel. That's the one
right.
that you want. And Judge Susan Crawford, she's the pro-abort hard lefty, and she used to work for the Planned Parenthood type thing. That's really interesting. Thanks for letting us know about this. And I got to tell you, I didn't realize it was quite that precarious, but that's the reason why you're trying to get this word out. And I really appreciate your help on this one. And God bless you for a success this coming Tuesday, because we don't need any more loss of that very slim majority, Brett, Adam. Okay. Really appreciate that.
Absolutely. Well, we thank you for helping us get the word out.
All right. Adam Schwen, once again, he's Western Regional Director of State Affairs. Susan B. Anthony, pro-life American. He leads policy and political efforts for SBA in the Western states from coast to coast to Iowa, and he lives in Nebraska, and he escaped from Oregon a little while back, but we miss him. Glad he's still doing good work.
Introducing sweet February favorites at Artisan Bakery Cafe. Try their cherry almond loaf, a moist almond cake loaded with chopped cherries, pure perfection in every bite. Pair one with Artisan's indulgent drinks, cardamom rose latte, a sophisticated blend of cardamom's warmth and rose delicate sweetness. Amaretto latte, cozy up with almond fragrant nuttiness and a hint of cherry sweetness, or a chocolate cherry mocha, rich chocolate, tangy cherry, and bold espresso. Visit us at 1325 Center Drive, across from the South Fred Mall.
One of each, K4 VIN 016551, MSRP 24145, Telluride VIN 615524, MSRP 4270, 5699, due 10K miles per year, zero security deposit, all incentives and discounts to dealer plus tax, title license, 150 registration processing fee. Trading in a vehicle will not eliminate your debt. Negative equity applied to new loan balance ends 3/31/25.
Get up and go to Kia Medford, where payments are down to just $159 a month. Save on our huge selection of new Kias, like the all-new 2025 Kia K4 LXS. Only $159 a month lease, or a new 2025 Kia Telluride S. Now $239 a month lease, both for 24 months. Plus, once we make a deal at Kia Medford, we'll pay off your trade no matter how much you owe. Need credit? Go to KiaMedford.com to get pre-approved in less than 30 seconds with no effect on your credit score. Don't miss K4s, $159 a month, or Telluride's $239. Get up and go to Kia Medford. Click KiaMedford.com.
This is the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED. Call Bill now, 541-770-5633. That's 770-KMED.
It's 11 before 7. 770-563-3770-KMED. My email is bill@billmyershow.com. I'm going to do some emails of the day. Emails of the day, and those are sponsored by Dr. Steve Nelson and Central Point Family Dentistry. CentralPointFamilyDentistry.com. It's where you can go and just sign up for an appointment. But while you wait, crowns, that's a real possibility there. It's pretty cool the way they work this. Because they have an in-house lab. They'll show it to you. In fact, last time I got a crown from him, he showed it to me, and it was cool. I watched my crown being formed on the site. Good stuff there. All right. Lori writes me, Bill, about the road use fees. We were talking about that yesterday a little bit. Tom Giovanetti from Institute for Policy Innovation, he says that actually he thinks that trucks should be paying more. State of Oregon says that trucks should be paying less and that regular people should be paying more. And he says that, hey, listen, you know, vehicles that are much heavier, causing much more damage, don't fall for this this fee equity sort of thing because trucks, of course, are using the roads for commercial purposes, unlike people like you and me. But Lori says, Bill, current Oregon road use fees paid by an 80,000-pound truck, that's $23.70 for every 100 miles, $23.70 for 100 miles already, plus screaming high registration rates and federal heavy vehicle use tax. All right, Lori, good to hear from another side of that. So there's a serious disagreement about this kind of stuff, right? Patrick writes about this, the situation here with Ashland Schools. You know how Ashland Schools are concerned because they're thinking about having to borrow $10 million on the full faith and credit of the school district, apparently. They want to do that. And the real issue is that there are fewer kids going to the school. So what's the other thing they talk about? Hey, let's build affordable housing there because we need more people coming in here. Yay. Yeah, but anyway, Patrick has a little tongue-in-cheek take on this. Thank you, Patrick. He says, the natural consequence of the Ashland government's support of Planned Parenthood and all of the abortions is that they end up with fewer future students. If you have fewer students, you don't need as many school buildings or teachers, and you can save a lot of money to pay the bureaucrats. Very good. The Reverend David ends up writing me saying, hey, Bill, that signal thing, the big signal scandal, I still think this whole signal thing was a setup. Did you read the response from the president of Signal? She says that their encryption is top of line. Yeah, I did see that. I appreciate your writing. Stuart ends up kicking in with me this morning. Bill, there was a time, this is about the Postal Service, there was a time when we could mail a letter to an Ashland address overnight by dropping that letter in a slot at the post office labeled 97520. Today, all outgoing mail from the Ashland post office is first shipped to Portland for sorting and then shipped back to Ashland for delivery. As such, it takes a week to mail a letter dropped off at the Ashland post office to be delivered. Is it any wonder USPS loses billions? A friend had a plaque with the saying, if there is a harder way to do it, I'll find it. That appears to be the USPS's MO. Government in general operates on the motto of, if it ain't broke, we will fix it until it is. I suppose allowing citizens to sort local mail for postal workers is a violation of some rule. It worked perfectly for years. I have no idea why that policy was changed. It necessarily incurs more cost to include an additional nearly 600 miles of transportation plus sorting labor when all that could be avoided by the method engaged successfully for years. Randy, the reason why they're doing this is to cut the cost. So, yes, it is cheaper to not have the people working in Medford to send a truck up there, sort it in Portland in a big center, and bring it back. Otherwise, they wouldn't be doing it. I hate to disagree with you on that. It doesn't necessarily help us. But why are they doing it? They're having to do it because it doesn't scale to have people working in Medford doing it any longer. People are not sending first-class mail the way they used to. We're not using the service to the same extent, and we have the same legacy costs and the same infrastructure and everything else. It's kind of like what the Ashland schools are up about right now. Gee, we have these legacy costs. We have all these teachers we have to pay, but we have fewer people using the product. I think that's what's going on. 770-5633, back to the phones. Let me go to line one. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Hello?
This is Devin.
Who is this now? Sorry, I couldn't hear you.
This is Devin.
Oh, hey, Gavin. How you doing this morning? Go ahead.
Oh, not too bad. I just wanted to comment on the road tax deal.
Yeah, 27 cents a mile for a commercial truck. Does that sound about right?
Yeah. I mean, if they tax the passenger cars or the trucks more, it wouldn't make a difference anyways. They don't maintain the road. I-5 right lane's been grooved out for I don't know how long.
Yeah.
And if anyone drives a dually pickup truck, they'll know what I mean. It's damn near lose control on the I-5.
Oh, yeah, from the grooves dug into it. Point being, though, and what Tom Giovanetti was talking about yesterday from IPI was that it's not passenger cars that are causing that grooving. And he's right about that. That grooving doesn't come from someone driving their Corolla on I-5.
Yeah, it's definitely more wear and tear with the heavy trucks. But, man, I feel like they raise our registration every year, and, you know, they got the fuel tax, and they still don't do the work on the road. So it's like, where's the money going?
Yeah. Well, I wonder if the money is going into that sucking sound known as inflation with the big price increases. What do you think?
Yeah, maybe. I think that's just a cop-out for them padding someone else's pocket, but who knows?
All right, Gavin. Well, Gavin, I appreciate it. If you had your way to wave a magic wand, what do you think would be the most effective way of paying for the road uses? Now, here's one thing I will say before you answer your question. There is one aspect that nobody wants to talk about, and that's where a lot of the gas tax money ends up going into the gangrene stuff like road diets, bicycle bumways, things like that, right? That's something that I think we need to address. But that's a state of Oregon problem, not necessarily the gas tax problem, as it were. But what would you do if you had a magic wand? How would you pay for it? Toll it? Something else? What?
I feel like there's enough money coming in now. I swear it's never enough. You could give them three times. Or say they wouldn't have it. It just doesn't make sense to me.
It's like everything else.
Bicyclists.
Yeah.
Start making these bicyclists buy some tags.
Yeah.
Because they think they own the road when they're on it. So.
Well, to be fair, though, I don't think they cause a lot of wear on it, and we're talking about who's causing most of the wear. But I don't know. Now, a big fat guy on a motor on a bicycle, maybe that puts a groove in the road. I don't know. Hard to say.
Yeah.
All right, Gavin. Hey, thanks for the call. Okay. 770-5633. It is 657. Jerry wrote me. And this one made me smile this morning. He was talking with me about some stock car racing history. Bill, a friend and I were talking recently about the good old days of stock car racing in Southern Oregon. And believe it or not, we both remembered when they had some big races for real money. A thousand silver dollars. This race happened in 1977, was known as the Heidelberg 100. And as you might have guessed, I looked up the price of silver in 1977, and the average price for that year was about $4.50 an ounce. So the winner of that race got approximately $3,500 in silver dollars. And 3 years later, silver ran up to $50, and even today at 34, it would be valued at around $26,000. Now, Dane Smith was actually the winner of that Heidelberg 100 at this point, is what he said. I don't know what Dane Smith did with those silver dollars, but I'm sure he still remembers that race because of how it was paid. Looking forward to the swamp update. Yeah, I know about that, Jerry. Hey, Jerry, thanks for writing. The email, Bill at BillMyersShow.com. By the way, we don't have D.C. swamp updates on Fridays for the time being for a while because Rick Manning ended up joining the Trump administration in labor, trying to find a way to drain some swampiness there. We'll see how that works. And he's just not allowed to shoot his mouth off once you're ending up working in the administration. Got to control the message, right? That kind of thing. We go to line one, another line, or line two, actually. Hi, who's this? Good morning.
Good morning, Bill. Keith out of Cave Junction.
Keith in Cave Junction. Hey, you got how many rabid foxes you got running around there, buddy?
I don't know, but that's concerning because I have chickens on the property that give them reason to be on the property.
That's right.
And where the visitors on their property, how they got their rabies, I'm not sure. Anyway.
Yeah.
The reason I called,
yes.
I have a solution for the cost of maintaining roads, the cost of ODOT.
And you are a truck driver, too, if I recall, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I'd say you're a truck driver. Yeah, you bet.
Well, I've said this before. I'll say it again. The amount of the road system in Oregon is about the same as New Zealand. New Zealand has a road department. This is 15, 20-year-old data, so it's probably not accurate. They have 500 supervisors and administrators contracted everything else out.
So there is not then, I just want to be clear there, there's no such thing as a state road crew.
None whatsoever.
Huh.
Give them all a nice thank you very much. But that's what we're trying to do, is reduce the size of government. And look how resistant.
Well, the other interesting thing is that when you do it with a private sector, you write a contract then when it's we're almost like your crews are on call, right?
Yeah.
So,
well, you also have to get rid of prevailing wage. There's another story in itself.
Now, how does prevailing wage actually work, Keith?
You know, I've always heard it as government, the wage scale and cost building things based on it being a public works or a public property or a public project.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. But I do know that it was suspended for an earthquake down in California. Can't remember the name of it. Mm-hmm. But they instantly got a bridge built. How long does it take to build anything when the government is the client?
Is the contract. A long time. Long time. So you're thinking private sector crews, get rid of prevailing wage, and have 500 managers and supervisors, so to speak, in ODOT, rather than 5,000, which is what we have right now.
And have a workforce that likes to work.
That would be good. I appreciate the call.
That would be.
All good right. Care. Hey, one more Bye-bye. Blow of the horn before you take off, though.
There you go.
Hey, what kind of truck?
It's a Pete.
It's a Pete? How old?
It's California compliant.
Oh, okay.
California Air Resource Board loves this truck.
Hey.
The DEF system was designed by an engineer who was the last in his class. And this, the DEF systems, the regen systems on diesel trucks, the most unnecessary idea that the libs and the environmentalists have come up with.
But I'll bet they feel really good about themselves watching you buy that DEF fluid at the truck stop.
One more thing, and I'll get out of your hair.
Okay.
Livestock trucks are exempt because DEF is poisonous.
Really?
Yes.
Didn't know that. You know something, Keith? I love it when you call up about something that I know nothing about and I learn something that I didn't know. Okay? Thank you for that.
Take care. Have fun.
All right.
Bye-bye.
So, no DEF on the livestock trucks. I didn't know that. Let's see. Now, DEF, that's just is urea, right? Urea, uric acid of some sort, and then it gets rid of the nitrous oxides in the diesel exhaust, if I recall. I think that's what's going on. But anyway, not a diesel mechanic. Just drive a diesel. This is the Bill Meyer Show.
Ready to upgrade your roof?